Greetings, this is Nigeria, and you're listening to UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Robert Harper, a bassist, on the line with me. Robert, say hello to the people and let us know what's going on with you.
Hello, folks. How y'all doing? Keep your head up. I'm doing great. I make sure every day after I get my prayer in, I make it all right, you know?
I know that's right. So, Robert, who's one of your favorite bass players?
I have a lot, but my number one is Bootsy Collins.
Okay. The bass player, when we talk about live bands, I really enjoy the bass. I think you guys don't get enough credit, you know, with the keys and the saxophone and all of that. But one of the best bass lines on an album that I like is by Taste of Honey, Boogie Oogie Oogie. And, of course, the Jones Girls, You Gonna Make Me Love Somebody Else. Tell me, what's one of your favorite bass lines on the album? And it can include your own.
Remember the OJ, Money, Money, Money?
Huh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's classic. That's very classic. You know, that was played by a guy named Anthony Jackson, which is unsung to the music world at large, but the musicians, we know about this cat. You know what I mean?
Right.
The producers know about it. Record industry knows about him. This dude is deep.
Yeah.
He's one of the first guys to play a six-string bass back in the day. He was doing that way back in the 80s.
You know, I always talk about communities, like different communities are aware of their greats. You know, the gospel community is aware of their greats. The bass community is aware of their greats. Every group has their own community. We may not always know, like you said, certain people will know about him who did that. And, you know, I enjoy it because it's truly our job here as a media outlet to make sure everybody know, you know, who's doing their thing out there. So we appreciate you. And, I mean, you're doing a lot, too, you know, giving back to the whole funk community. Tell me how you revived that and what put you on that path.
Well, I've been doing funk since a child, just listening to it. And I got my first bass when I was 13 years old. And I just always gravitated to the funk. I mean, like, before I picked up the bass, it was like, I Know You Can, all that stuff. Pointer Sisters, all that stuff. Joe Tex. Gotcha.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't even playing bass then, but those lines were just catching me as a young child. And so I was just destined to do this. And so what made me revive it is because I've been missing, it's been some space missing there. You know, I give homage to George Clinton, Parliament Funkadelic, and Bootsy Collins, you know, and all them, and James Brown. But like other genres of music, I don't hear no new artists really coming in strong with some funk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know, we got a gap there. You know what I mean? If we want to preserve this for the future, we can't just keep rehashing Parliament Funkadelic. Now, don't not taking nothing from him. But while we doing that, we need to add some new artists in. Just like you got rock been going on forever.
Right.
Heavy metal came out in the 80s and it's still live and pumping. Country music. Jazz came out, what, 46, 50? They still got new jazz artists popping up every year. So we need to start having new funk artists popping up, you know? And I'm just glad to how this evolved is. I was in a hip-hop, it was like a hip-hop funk band, really, for a couple of years called Area 301 out here in Upper Marlboro.
Uh-huh.
They've won a lot of awards out there, local awards, you know, Maryland Music Awards and something else, the Titan Award and all this stuff out here. And, really bunch of talented guys, and I didn't record the album, but what got me to play with them is whoever was playing the bass, their bass lines are funky, and they actually use real instruments. They're not doing all this scratching and all this old, you know, this imitation and electronical stuff. And so that got me. It was like the Roots, a funky Roots band, you know,
right.
The Roots that play on TV.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I was riding with them for a couple of years, and then when the COVID hit, it's just, that's where you, the COVID show where it tested a lot of everybody's endurance, all that good stuff, I can't name it all, you know,
right,
and the band just fell apart, you know what I mean, and I said, well, wait a minute now, I can't just sit up in here and do nothing,
yeah.
I was just coming off a high, playing with the band and getting all these new sponsors, patting myself on the back a little bit. I have over, what, I don't even know now, 17, 18 major musical instrument endorsements and stuff. And it's been a blessing. I don't take that for granted, you know, more than even major artists have. You know what I mean? I don't know where that came from. I just say thank you, God. You know what I mean? But I got companies all over the world sponsoring me and stuff, and it's really put me in a nice place. You know what I mean? I got stuff set up. Some people in Germany want me to come out there and do a little mini tour. And I got my music playing in Peru. I can't think all the places. The Dutch, Netherlands, in the radio out there, UK, a lot of different places. It's really just doing nice. We're in about 4 or 5 stations in the United States, and we're still working on it, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, things are delayed because of the COVID. See, if people are in the office and are actually in the station, a lot of them are doing remote radio stuff now from the house, you know. So they can't get to them tons of CDs and stuff and all them emails and MP3s everybody's sending them. You know, it's taking longer than the average time to get back with me. But they've been submitted, and I feel good because every radio station that's picked me up is really happy with what I'm doing, you know.
How many instruments do you play?
I love that question. A lot of people don't ask that. I'm not just a bass player. Back in the 70s when I first started, I used to keep all the band equipment at my house because the members was rehearsing in my garage. So that's when Pop was just freshly out, and it was a big thing about him playing all these instruments. And if you, I don't know if you can recall, back Ray Parker Jr. plays all those instruments too. But the one who wrote Ghostbusters, but he before Ghostbusters, he had about 4 or 5 gold albums, you know? Mm-hmm. Took a liking to interest to both of them. And so while I'm there, I'm practicing on my friend's drums and practicing on my friend's guitar, my friend's keyboards, and I just taught myself. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah, so it's good. As a matter of fact, I just put something on Facebook today that a lot of people were surprised. They didn't know that on my funk record that came out in 2021 earlier this year, I think it's, 8 tunes on there. I played the guitar on everything, except for a guy did Adam Iaconazzo or something from my band Area 301. He played a little solo on a song called Get Up, but I played all that guitar. And then on my smash hit, The Bomb, that was just released on July the 1st, I played all the guitar on there.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about the album and some of your favorite cuts and what inspired you.
Okay. So when I left, when the band Area 3 disbanded, right when COVID first hit 2020 in January, when they started locking up everybody in March, 3 days before we were supposed to do our first major tour gig. Did you hear what I just said? 3 days. I mean, I had the outfit. We were ready to go. And it was closed up. Anyway, I sat around, and from 2020 March to today, I produced 3 CDs. The first one was really unusual for me to do. It was I call it a hip-hop instrumental CD. I was riding one day in the car. Well, I was doing a lot of riding when I go to the gas station. That's the only place you can go when it was really locked down, gas station in the store and back home. Remember that?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah, first hit, and it was that tight. I was riding, and I said, you know what? People need some kind of joy right now. They need something to ride with. And so that was the title of the album, Ride With Me. And then I just studio with my drummer, who was from the Area 301 band, and a monster producer, and we start cranking out hip-hop beats. And I just added a little bass here and there. Primarily instrumental, we have one rap song that I do, which is my first rap song. I was influenced so much by the Area 301 hip-hop band. I did a rap song, and it came out real well. It's called A-Dub, Give Me a Break. And that allowed me to let out a lot of anger that I was going through with all the politicians and all that junk that was going on during the COVID. And you hear that record, you hear the way, you hear my vocal projection. Give me some change! Ain't nothing funny! You know, I'm really hitting it hard on there. And we were just doing this just to be doing something. Well, I got some good distributors, you know, and they put all this stuff out all over the internet. My stuff is everywhere. Not one place you can't find me. And the numbers start coming in. And I was like, these people really like this. Right. And I was like, I was just thrown back because I was like, it was just a project to me, you know what I mean? So with all the attention I got from the hip-hop record, I said, you know what? It's time for me to do a funk record. People know me as a funk bassist. With my, I got these things on it. I got a bass and drum video series on YouTube, Robert Harper Bass. That's my handle everywhere. So my YouTube videos get good. And everybody knows me from playing all these cover tunes, all these funk bands. You'll love that. You got to check that out. I'll take you back on memory lane with that one.
Okay.
And I said, I've never had a bona fide funk album. I had an album in 2012 called New Jazz Funk, but that was New Jazz Funk. And so I went out and I did some researching. Wayman Tisdale just popped up on the screen. It's like, you know, I believe all my stuff is really derived from a spiritual force, and I call God. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I can't take credit for all these great thoughts and ideas I get. I just can't. They just overwhelm me. You know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to start talking about, oh, I'm genius and I'm floating on top of the world and everybody's underneath me. Nope, I'm just a human being just like everybody else. Been blessed and got a great connection with God, you know. Yeah. Try to do the best I can every day. When you do that, my integrity is real great now. You know what that is? That's when nobody's looking.
Right.
You know, yeah. we can all holler in church, hallelujah and all that. But what do you do when you're not in church and nobody, and all the saints are not around you? So that's what I've been practicing on a lot these last 5 to 6 years. You know, how I conduct myself when nobody's watching but God. Anyway, I want to get off track here. So
it's all right. I'm saved and Holy Ghost filled. I'm good. I'm good. We can brag on the Lord. It's okay.
All right. I want to throw everybody off. So to get back to the thing, well, I'm on the internet. Like I said, every time I'm on the internet, I just stumble into stuff, which I believe God has handed to me. Say, Take a look at this. And Wayman Tisdale popped up, and he was one of the guys back in the days. Remember all the stuff he did? He ain't no stopping us now. But he played it on the bass?
Yes.
He was an instrumentalist, jazz guy. He used to be a basketball player, 6'9", you know, and played with the Phoenix Suns and all these different groups. He was a star. Anyway, passed away in 2010 because of a cancer in his leg. You know what I mean? He wasn't just a great musician. He was a great guy. Treated everybody good. He always had a smile on his face. And I missed him, you know. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do a record in homage to him. And I'm going to call it the Funk Record. It could have been the Funk Record 2 and all that. But a lot of these new millennials don't even know about him. So I just came out with the Funk Record just like he did. And I got his name on the back of the album. So it's not like I'm trying to act like he never did a funk album.
Right.
It's actually a homage to him.
Right.
And I got in there, and baby, the funk came out of me. And being a producer, he's a drummer.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's the main pieces of a funk band, the bass and the drum.
Right.
So you got to, we in the studio like Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. We doing the thing, you know what I mean?
Yep.
What he can't think of, I can think of. What I don't think of, he think of. Match made in heaven. And so we just start cranking them out, man, and one after another. And I put that out like I did the Ride With Me album. And now that really, it really took off. It's everywhere. I got the most sales out of that one. You know what I mean? You know, because I told you, I run my own business, so I'm independent. I see the numbers and the money when it come in, all that.
That's what's up. So, that's where we need to be.
So the funk record came out, and that got me going. So I said, okay, I'm rolling with this now. And I never was trying to be a solo artist. I was always happy just sitting in a cut playing bass, you know? Put me on stage with Fantasia, Keisha Cole, I'm good. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you never know what God has in store for you. And I mean, not being able to play with nobody during the COVID, God made me take a deep look at myself. You know what I mean? And I didn't know all that was in me, you know? And I got a bunch more, you know? So I'm just scratching the surface.
Right.
As you can see, if you listen to me, I put another one out July the 1st. I put a single out on July the 1st. Really, because the funk record came out, what, January 2021, and it's still playing, but I wanted something just for the 4th of July, you know what I mean? And what more appropriate title could I use than The Bomb for the 4th of July?
Right, right, right.
That single, that third CD is a single, The Bomb, and we're still riding high on that. This is the first time I'm announcing this on your station. We're doing a big video for The Bomb. It won't be coming out to October, but it's going to be well worth the wait. All the major players in the DMV area, you know, they know about me and everything, and they jumped on board, and they just blew my mind. I got David Dyson, Kevin Walker, Eugene Chapman, Earl Ivey. All these guys are major players out here, and they play all over the world, and they're going to be in that video with me. Ain't that something? Yeah. Y'all got work?
Yeah, that's good. So tell us the name of the new album and your social media or website where people can connect with you.
Okay, I got the single out, The Bomb, riding that for the rest of the year with the video coming out in October. If everybody go to www.robertharper.com, I have over 20 links connected to that link. So that's like the mothership of the website. You get me? That's the hub. If you go there and you go through all the pages, and you'll find Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, where to buy the music, all that stuff is there. And like I can say again, whatever floats your boat, music outlet, I'm on all of them. Pandora, Spotify, everywhere. I have some good distributors. They've been taking care of me for a while. And I have now my new album coming out August the 20th. It's not a new album, but it's a reissue from my debut album, which sold about 12,000 copies. That's a lot for independent artists to sell.
Right.
If you can sell 100, if you can sell 100, you're lucky, you know?
Right.
But I sold over 12,000. And what I want to do is that I know more now. I'm more brushed up in the studio. So I went back and I took those tunes and I remastered them.
Okay.
So I can get a better sound. So it's going to be new jazz funk. I took down the old album. I've had them taken down. I didn't know they were going to take it down in 3 days. You know, I was trying to tell people that, you know, if they want to get a copy. I pushed the button and the distributor took it down. I couldn't find it myself. I had to go back and call my engineer in California to send me the songs again so I could remaster them. But it's going to be the same song, but remastered, nice sound, nice album covers, CD covers. I like those. I designed all that stuff myself. And it's coming out August 20th, guys, all that stuff. And I can tell you my favorite music site that I like is because they really work well with me and they don't take too much of my money. If you want to purchase any of my funk, go to bandcamp.com. That's a big site for musicians, especially independent. BANDCAMP.com, bandcamp.com. And just put my name in the search, and you can find my name and a bunch of other musicians. We're all there. A lot of people don't know about that site. This is a great site, and they really work well with the artists.
So I thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So as you continue to drop new material, please let us know, and it'll be our pleasure to continue to share with our audience what you're doing.
Oh, one more thing before we go. I almost slipped my mind. You thought the funk album was big and all the stuff I'm doing now? I'm really going to take it up another level next year and put another album out, because the Grammys, you know, I'm a member of the Recording Academy, and they contacted me about the funk record, and it really blew me away, and I'm like, how do they do that? It's hard to get up to become a member. When you first become a member, you have to send them like 15 links, and it's like trying to get a passport. I don't know. It was really hard. I almost gave up. But they keep those links, and I guess somebody was checking on them, and they seen how good my stuff has been doing, and they told me to submit it. And I was like, well, there really ain't no category for my stuff. They said, send it anyway. There's a lot of categories that you guys don't see that are not on TV.
Right.
I said, really? I shot that out the next day, so it's out there. But that encouraged me to do another album. It's going to be funk, but it's going to be more of a funk R&B. If I can get into more categories next year, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm gonna have some real bad singers, and I'm gonna give them a shot and put them on the album, female and male, because I write lyrics. You know what I mean? I'm gonna show more of my lyrical ability, and it's gonna have some funky Prince type stuff. I'm gonna touch on a lot of stuff, but it's gonna be more a crossover. So I can get the Grammys and get into more categories next year. And now I wanted to mention that.
Okay, no problem. And like we said, thank you for coming through, and we appreciate you.
Thank you. God bless you.